With Montana News, I'm Mary Auld. Shane Morjo is currently a state representative for Missoula. Morjo is the Democratic candidate running for state auditor. He spoke with Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney about lowering health insurance costs and promoting transparency in the industry.
Shane Morjo is the Democratic candidate for state auditor. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For voters who aren't familiar with you and your candidacy, can you give us a brief introduction?
Hey, Corin, my name is Shane Morjo. I'm the Democratic nominee for Montana State Auditor. My background is I grew up in Ronan, Montana, bucking bales and changing pipes for my neighbors. I went to forestry school. I did my degree in resource conservation at the University of Montana. I went on to law school there, then went and did a master's of law at the University of Arizona before coming back to Montana and doing working as a criminal prosecutor for a couple of years. And now as an attorney for almost 10 years. During that time, I also served at the legislature in leadership for two terms, where I was proud to pass 9 bills during those two terms for Montana. And I feel like during those two terms, I was able to accomplish a lot for Montana in protecting healthcare through Medicaid expansion, getting students access to college through grants for 2-year colleges. And I'd say I'm proud of the fact that I don't come from industry, that I'm not an industry insider, because you'll get someone that's going to put people first in Montana.
You mentioned your time, 2 terms in the State House of Representatives. You're now running for the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance in Montana, the State Auditor. What's the source of your political ambitions there?
Yeah, well, it's somewhat twofold. Just growing up in my community back home, a lot of low-income folks who've struggled to afford insurance, specifically health insurance. And the quality of health, that directly impacts the quality of health and the people in rural Montana and my community I grew up in, and really everywhere across the state. So really my life views are shaped by actually growing up here and living through those issues in our communities and knowing what that means. For example, I've been talking a lot about mental health parity and behavioral health because we passed legislation requiring insurance companies to provide those coverages in 2017. For me, that was really important legislation, and it's really important legislation in regard to this office because I saw the impacts of suicide in my communities. I've seen the impacts of and the need for mental health parity and behavioral health coverage in Montana to help our communities in rural Montana. And so, I talk about this quite a bit because it's personal to me. My sister committed suicide when I was in middle school. And so, I know a lot of people across our state have had suicide touch their lives. And if I can help change that outcome for somebody else, and make a difference, that really is important to me. And so if I can go into this office, make sure I'm doing everything I can to hold insurance companies accountable and help somebody, then if I help one person, it's made a difference and it matters. So for me, it's personal where I grew up. Also, last legislative session, I carried some legislation extending the statute of limitations for child sex abuse victims. And we were fortunate to get that legislation passed. And I say fortunate because surprisingly, it was very difficult to pass legislation to protect child sex abuse victims. And the reason was my theory is that insurance companies were opposing it. And, I've seen firsthand the impacts in our communities, especially when we talk about mental health and behavioral health needs in our communities and for insurance to better provide and cover those needs in our communities. But I've also seen insurance companies put their financial interest ahead of people in our communities, and specifically child sex abuse victims. And to me, that's unacceptable. And it really pushed me over the line here to run for this office. And lastly, I'll just say, I think my background of growing up here, my legal background, my policy background, when I talk about my legal background, this office prosecutes fraud in both investment and insurance. I have a criminal prosecutor's background, so I can also put that to work at the state auditor's office.
I'm sorry to hear about your sister. I hadn't heard that story before.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. when talking about experiences like you've had with your sister, with us, things you've seen in your community and around the state, what policies or what plans do you have to directly address those as state auditor? You brought up a few things you've done in the past as a lawmaker, but what specific proposals do you have now to address those if you got elected?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a lot. I have a lot of ideas, and of course, I believe I'm the best candidate suited for this job because I have a record that you can actually point to and see where I've actually been able to get stuff done. I passed 9 bills over 2 terms in a Republican-controlled legislature. I think that shows my ability to work with others and cut to the chase and get to work for people and be an independent voice and put partisanship aside to get things done. And I think people expect that of us. But I specifically would point people to my plans to bring greater transparency, especially in non-emergency related healthcare. I think that ultimately would impact insurance rates across the state of Montana, put downward pressure on insurance companies, and provide for greater transparency. People have been begging for more transparency and costs for years, and I continue to hear about it. I know that there's a lot of medical providers that are willing to step up and start working with me to try and do better on that front and try and find ways where we can work together to provide more transparency.
You mentioned, you know, people you've talked to wanting more transparency in their insurance prices or in their healthcare pricing. That is something that state lawmakers have worked on. You've been in the legislature when that's happened. People have been arguing over at the federal level. What are you going to do about it? Is this a new regulation? Is this a new mandate? What does this look like?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's a very good question because obviously having conversations with industry, there's a lot of players when it comes to the healthcare system, and there's a lot of things that impact the costs that we end up paying and that we're ultimately on the hook for when we get those insurance bills or those healthcare bills. And, you know, a lot of times we point the finger at hospitals, which is, I think, not fair because we have PBMs, we have pharmacy benefit managers, we have medical equipment providers, we have the drug costs, I think, which count for 20% of, I've heard that statistic before, where it's around 20% of our healthcare costs. We have the insurance companies. So those are just an example of how complex the system is, and there's a reason why it's been difficult. But honestly, what I would like to do is I would like to get folks at the table to start talking about ways where we can provide better transparency and costs for folks in Montana, where we're talking about all of these, the impacts of all of these costs, not just pointing the finger at the hospital or the doctor, because really they get tagged at the back end because they're the ones who ultimately are providing that service. And then sending that bill over and have those costs negotiated with the insurance companies oftentimes. And so I just think it's time for us to sit down and start talking about this and start identifying ways and places where we can agree that we can provide more transparency and take some steps here to do that for Montana's people demand it. And so ideally, I would like to sit down and have conversations with those folks, those industry folks, and identify ways and that we can provide that transparency to Montanans and obviously be a voice for Montana consumers and ensuring that they are protected and that they are getting the information that I think they deserve to know.
Along with talking about price transparency in the healthcare system, your campaign has also talked about fair and affordable health insurance rates. Again, this has been a pretty long-standing issue debated in the legislature and in Congress. Do you have specific goals here for how to forward that discussion and have some meaningful change there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the transparency goes hand in hand with that discussion. I think putting that pressure on those companies and insurance companies allows people to make more informed and educated decisions in their purchases. I also think that obviously, competition is always good. I think market competition is good, but I also don't think that should come at the cost of consumers in one market for others in another. You know, for example, we have a state auditor who has allowed health sharing programs to circumvent the laws in Montana and has identified them as not insurance.
And for some context here, are you referring to short-term insurance plans?
No. So short-term insurance, so junk insurance is also another issue, obviously, because we have an auditor who has identified those during a pandemic as viable insurance. And sure. What happens is people think that that coverage is that's good coverage and that is cheap and it's affordable. But at the end of the day, it provides very limited coverage. It allows those companies to really, in my opinion, discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions and drop people with pre-existing conditions. Health sharing programs are quite a bit different. And an example is, I believe, MediShare, which was identified as not able to market in Montana after it had committed fraud in Montana many years ago. The auditor has now allowed them to come back into Montana. And what we've seen with that approach is that he's basically identified them as not as insurance because, and to me, how that analysis, how he comes to that analysis is flawed. You know, if people are paying into a pool and the company is then covering their medical needs, that's pretty straightforward. I mean, that's insurance. So, you know, I'm all for competition in Montana. I, in no shape or form am I saying that health sharing is off the table. What I'm saying is that people need to be playing by the same rules as everybody else. Because what it does is it ultimately undermines folks that are purchasing in other markets with other insurance companies that are having to play by a different set of rules. So I want fairness on that front, but I do want market competition. You know, another thing we need to really think about is the cost of homeowners insurance. I think we're towards the top in the country on homeowners insurance, more than California, more than Washington, more than Oregon. The houses there and the population bases are much larger and the values of homes are much larger. They have more catastrophic wildland fire, especially in California. And yet Montana still exceeds what their rates are. So these are things that we need to be having conversations about, whether that's looking at capping things or talking to insurance companies in the legislature about helping provide subsidies to homeowners who are prone to hail or wildland fire in Montana to help reduce that overall burden on the overall pool of ratepayers. But, you know, these are conversations I would like to have. You know, I'm not saying one particular agenda is set. What I would like to do is start finding ways where we can explore these conversations to where we're protecting people in Montana and sitting at the table and having a productive quality discussion.
Going back to the point, what you brought up on, you mentioned some actions that the current state auditor, Matt Rosendale, a Republican, has brought up as far as the additional businesses that are coming in and operating. He argues, and some Republicans argue, this is giving consumers more options. You are saying, you know, that there could be some issues with those options. But you said, I think you said, you know, you don't want to take anything off the table. You know, allowing these sharing options or short-term insurance plans, or are there any of these policies or insurance options that Matt Rosendale has encouraged that you would want to, you know, discourage as the auditor?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's critical that we're protecting people with pre-existing conditions in Montana. You know, I fought hard for protections for people in Montana with pre-existing conditions at the state legislature. We fought hard for Medicaid expansion to get around 100,000 people in Montana coverage. And that has directly lowered insurance rates in Montana. What we also saw last session was the legislature, and I was proud to work on this, during the same term where we reauthorized Medicaid expansion, we passed the reinsurance program in Montana, which helped offset pricing for high-risk individuals in the marketplace. And so that had a direct result in lowering costs in Montana. So there's a lot of ways that we can explore, you know, options and affordable pricing in Montana. I don't think that should ever come at the cost of protecting people with pre-existing conditions or taking those protections away from people with pre-existing conditions. You know, the current state auditor has promoted short-term plans, short-term junk insurance plans through his emails during a pandemic, which I think is just flat out wrong and irresponsible, because we know that a lot of folks are vulnerable during a pandemic, especially when people are losing their jobs. And when people think they're getting coverage and signing up for something, at the end of the day, that really doesn't provide a whole lot of coverage for, especially for catastrophic needs if they need it. We're setting people up for failure. So, you know, I would like to make sure that our office is doing more outreach when I'm elected to make sure we're going out and informing folks on what's out there, what their rights are as an insured, providing educational tours and forums on these very issues. You know, last, when we talk about medical sharing programs, you know, I think what I'm most concerned about are, or is people being taken advantage of in those situations, like we saw in the early days of MediShare when they came into Montana. And I know that people are probably paying attention to this more, and that they probably know we're watching them more, which is good, because when we relaxed on them, they were able to take advantage of people and not provide coverage for essential needs for healthcare when they were in predicaments in their life, when their healthcare and their lives depended on it. So, you know, we really need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep an eye on those companies, and that we're making sure people aren't, that companies aren't getting advantages over others, and that they're not, we're not allowing them to cut corners. You know, right now, I believe the current state auditor has a memo, an order out through the office identifying them as not insurance, and so not being regulated by the office, which I think is problematic, because we've seen that there's been issues with some of these health sharing programs in the past, and they are insurance, in my opinion, and that we should be keeping an eye on them to make sure that they're following and playing by the same rules as everyone else, and that they're not undermining other insurance for Montanans across the state. And when I say undermining, I mean what happens when we let some companies cut corners and not have to abide by laws? They can potentially provide packages at a discounted rate over other companies that are mandated to provide certain types of coverage. And that's where it becomes problematic, is then people think, oh, again, that these are affordable, good products, when they don't recognize that they might not provide everything that they may have been mandated to be provided through another provider. So those are the sorts of things that I'm mindful of, and I want to make sure that we're getting that information out to folks across Montana, and that we are looking at finding more ways to get prices down, but not necessarily sacrificing them, Montanans, in that process.
It sounds like you're saying you want to do some information giving to potential consumers on these options, and then maybe it sounds like you're proposing regulating the health sharing ministries in a way that would actually classify them as insurance. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we should be having that conversation, because right now they're off the radar, right? And I think that's very problematic, especially with the history of some of these programs that we've had in Montana in the past. So honestly, I just want to make sure that, you know, friends, I have friends and family who use health sharing programs. And my concern is making sure that people are protected and that people have the coverage they think they have when they actually need it. So that's my number one priority, is making sure we're protecting Montanans when it comes to the healthcare needs that they deserve and that they've contracted for and expect from these companies. I would say that my goal on that front is to make sure people are informed about what the products and services are that exist out there, and what their rights are as an insured, especially when they might be getting jerked around. You know, I just don't want people to throw up their hands and say, well, I'll just, you know, give up. That's not an option sometimes for people, especially when they're in a you know, in an emergency room, or you know, they're fighting for their life on a ventilator. You know, so I want people to be protected when those things happen to them, and where they don't have to think about the challenges or a company challenging their coverage.
And I guess for some additional context, these other options for coverage tend to be significantly cheaper, but they cover much less and can lead to much higher out-of-pocket costs. That leads to a lot of the criticism of them. Want to also talk about something else your campaign has brought up on cracking down on investment fraud. Why is that a priority for your campaign and for you, and how are you going to do that?
Yeah, well, you know, the budget over the next legislative session will budgets statewide, you know, will be, I believe, still to be determined, but, you know, I'd expect that the budgets will be tight and that we'll have to do more with less next session, just based on the economy and the downward trend of where the economy has went through COVID, and the needs of people who are jobless in the country and in Montana. So, you know, I'm prepared to do more with less. You know, I'm prepared to put my background as a prosecutor to work in investigating fraud cases if I have to. I'm actually excited about the idea of being involved in those cases and actually fighting for Montanans in a courtroom if I have to. You know, I would say that the when we look at the legislature and the upcoming landscape, you know, there's going to be questions, especially at the federal level. You know, I think healthcare is always a hot topic because it's so important to people in Montana. You know, it doesn't take much to identify that it's important. You know, even if you watch, you know, see the political ads on TV, you can recognize very quickly that people talk about healthcare quite a bit because it is important to people in Montana, and we should be doing everything we can to protect Montanans. And you know, I'm always going to be prepared to do my job in regulating insurance and securities as lined out in our Constitution and by statute. And, you know, Congress passes legislation on healthcare. We will be ready to respond and to institute the laws in this country to make sure people are best protected in Montana. So I stand ready to, you know, whether it's budgetary at the legislature or, you know, future changes in Congress, you know, I'll be ready to step up to the plate and make sure I'm doing everything I can to protect people with pre-existing conditions in Montana.
And I think I said insurance fraud. I think I meant to say investment fraud there. I think that was.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about investment fraud, you know, for me, I've seen way too many people in my community throw up their hands. I've had family members, you know, who've been in accidents or auto accidents, and, you know, they get that offer for an accident from an insurance company, and they take it because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with the stress that puts on them. I just don't want people to throw up their hands when they're being taken advantage of. And so, you know, we'll be ready to investigate cases, do a better job on the investigations, and follow through. I'm excited about the idea of being able to get involved directly in those cases with my criminal law background as an attorney. My number one goal is to make sure people aren't, especially seniors, aren't being taken advantage of in the financial scams that we see, Ponzi schemes. You know, want to make sure people aren't throwing up their hands when it comes to bad faith cases or fraud cases in insurance. I want people to not be afraid to ask the questions when they need help. I want them to know this office is here to take those questions and to step up and take on companies when they've acted in bad faith.
Do you think that to, you know, have those answers, be able to help consumers navigate, you know, the investment systems or insurance systems, does the staffing at the office need to be increased? You know, what's the cost of providing those efforts, and does that need to change at the office?
You know, my hope, so, you know, I also, part of the educational forums and tours that I mentioned earlier, I want to make sure that we're providing financial management trainings for folks in Montana. And part of that is to make sure people are updated on what the current fraud scams are across the state. We need to be very active and proactive, and not responding, after the incidents have already happened. We need to be out talking to people about what those scams are, what those current scams look like, and reaching our seniors and folks who often get targeted in these financial scams. So, I definitely would like to make sure we're doing more on that front to catch these cases or these bad actors before they even escalate to where they're taking advantage of multiple people in Montana.
A few more things I want to touch on. One of them being another point of your campaign that you brought up is wanting to be, help businesses grow, and wondering, if you have specific goals there, specific policies that you think that the state auditor can put in place to help businesses in the state.
Yeah. One of the things I would like to do when we talk about, going back to your last question, and to make sure I answer that fully, when we talk about the needs of the office to do those educational forums and tours, I'd like to be partners with folks in industry to make sure we're providing information and finding ways to work together to provide that information. Honestly, there's a lot of great workers in Montana, great companies in Montana. There's a lot of companies that go above and beyond for their clients. A lot of the folks that provide insurance and financial services are people that live in our communities. Our kids go to our schools. So, I want to see them thrive. And a lot of them are very good people. Most of them are good people, I should say. It's the very select few, a lot of the fly-by-night type folks that come into Montana that can give folks a bad reputation. So I'd like to partner and work with folks to where we can make sure we're providing information in Montana to Montanans on the services and products that are available. And so, I've committed, we regulate these industries. They're not going anywhere. We need insurance. We want people to be financially solvent to where they can make investments and, set up their, build investments for their kids to go to college or whatever their goals are in life. So I want to make sure we're doing everything we can on that front. Now, when we talk about growing business in Montana, that's very important to me as well. I think we should be looking at the regulations in Montana and find ways where we can signal to people across the country that we're open for business. For example, I passed legislation during the last legislature, more specifically on blockchain technology. And we wanted to create an exemption in the Securities Act for a certain niche of technology that isn't securities that could cause certain companies to have pause because there is no legislation or regulations identifying that they are exempt. So we need to be looking at ways where we can, bring clarity to industry, bring clarity to new types of business and industries to make sure that Montana is showing that we're open for business and that we're not going to change the laws and regulations on them after they come to Montana and are set up and changing things on them when they're midstream. So I think there's ways where we can look at, and I'm committed to finding ways where we can look at regulations to provide competition, a better competition, and to create new jobs and new business in Montana. And I have direct experience in doing that in my work on the Securities Act in the legislature.
Do you have additional ideas now for changes in the state regulation that could make the environment, the business environment in Montana more friendly?
Yeah, well, one concept that I would bring up is more related to, might not be directly related to your question, but one thing that I think that comes to mind when we're talking about business is we've seen through COVID, we've seen a lot of businesses struggling, especially with business interruption, being shut down or, having orders to where they can't serve people, bars or hair salons. And so we should be doing more on that front to make sure people are covered, that the business interruption services that they're paying for in their insurance is honored, but that we're also making sure that it's clear that what is and isn't going to be covered such as a pandemic. And so, you know, I really would like to make sure we do more on that front to protect businesses and to make sure that they are prepared for pandemics or emergency circumstances like a lot of them have experienced. And so that's something I would like to have more conversations on, especially with industry folks on how we can do more and bring more clarity on that front for business owners, especially small businesses in Montana who depend on you and I and everyone else going through their doors to buy their products and services to keep them alive, especially Main Street businesses like where I grew up in Ronan. So that's just one thing that comes to mind when we talk about regulations and ways where we can help business. But you know, on the front of competition and trying to find ways where we can have conversations on, you know, one example is another example would be I've continuously heard that there's difficulty in getting coverage for daycares in Montana, and that there are certain providers who would like to come to Montana, but the regulatory landscape for them doesn't make sense for them. And so what I would like to do is sit down and have conversations about those specifics to where we can, you know, make sure that people have daycare services in Montana and where daycare providers can provide affordable services to people and purchase affordable insurance for their daycare services. So that's one example. We need to be looking at ways where we can do more to recruit business, especially in child care services, which I've been told by insurance providers has been more increasingly difficult to get insurance companies to, you know, insure them.
Outside of the daily responsibilities in the securities and insurance industries, the state auditor is one of five statewide elected officials that sits on the land board, which manages state trust lands. If elected, what would be some of your priorities for managing those lands?
Yeah, you know, I'm a product of our public school system. I grew up in Ronan, went to the public schools in Ronan and Pablo, actually. And so I know how important it is to raise funds and how important that constitutional mandate is in raising funds for our public school systems. I also know how important our outdoor heritage is to myself and so many people across the state. I know how important our state trust lands are to the farming and ranching communities and how important those the farming and ranching industries are to our public schools, raising almost $50 million into our school trust fund accounts. So we have a lot of things that we need to balance. You know, for me, I think I have the best background to be on that for this job out of the two candidates in this race, because I have a forestry background. I did my degree in resource conservation at the University of Montana. I understand wildland fire. I fought wildland fire in Montana. I'm a product of our school system, and I know how important it is. I grew up in rural Montana, surrounded by farmland, and I know how important it is to our farming communities on that front. And last but not least, I'm an avid hunter and fisher. I've hunted here my whole life. And so I know how important it is to maintain access for Montana hunters and anglers, but also how that trickles down to our $7 billion outdoor recreation economy in Montana. So there's a lot of things at play when we talk about public lands in Montana. I understand that, and I've worked on, I've been a staunch defender of our public lands in Montana. I'll always fight to protect our public lands for people in Montana, but I also will do everything I can to adhere to the constitutional mandates to raise funds for our schools and in support of our local communities in rural Montana.
Are there other issues that are important to your campaign that you think voters should know about?
Yeah, you know, I think we've covered quite a bit in our conversations. You know, I would just say that for me, you know, I feel I'm the best candidate in this race, mainly because, you know, I grew up here my entire life. I have a legal background. You know what you get with me. You know what you get because I've shown that I will work with others to do what's best for people in Montana and find common ground on common sense. You know, I think I've shown they'll put party aside in Montanans first. I've shown that through my work in the legislature to protect child abuse victims. I've stepped up multiple times to protect people, our public lands, and I have 100% rating with conservation groups because I have put our public lands or set our public lands as a priority in Montana, and will never sell them off to those out-of-state investors that might threaten them. I would be proud to go to work and continue my work to fight for affordable health care for Montanans, and be an independent voice for them in the state auditor's office. And we're coming down to the wire here, but I think people in Montana still care to have elected officials who actually come from our communities and understand the issues in our communities, something that couldn't be more different between me and my opponent.
Yeah, anything else you feel like you need to add at this point?
I guess, did we talk about behavioral health? That's one of the important, I mentioned I think at the beginning I mentioned why I was running because my, a couple things that have directly impacted me, like suicide with my sister. And one of the things I'd like to do is to make sure we're bringing more teeth to legislation in Montana for mental and behavioral health insurance, and making sure that that vital coverage is provided for. We passed that legislation back in, I believe, 2017. And so for me, it's personal that we, and it's personal for so many people in Montana because Montana has one of the highest suicide rates in the country. And so we need to continue to make sure that those coverages are provided for and are set at the same level for other needed care in Montana. And so how we do that is to make sure that, there's teeth in the law that ensures companies are following the law for mental and behavioral health in Montana. And I think that has a major ripple effect throughout the state because, it gives people help when they need it. And it makes sure they're staying on track in life and being able to go to work and be productive in our communities. I would also say the last thing that came to mind when I just mentioned that is the work that we need to continue to do to protect insurance consumers in Montana when it comes to hail and fire, especially in wildland urban interface. We need to continue to have conversations about how we can help those folks. And I talked about this a little bit with homeowners insurance and finding ways where, we need to sit down and have some more serious conversations about what that looks like, whether it's, caps or whether it's having conversations about trying to help, have a program like the RIA insurance program where we're helping offset those high-risk folks in the pool to where we're keeping rates low for everybody in Montana. I know capping things for insurance companies gives them pause and ultimately might have the opposite effect in getting companies to come here. So, we need to have these tough conversations and we need to start thinking outside the box here on how we can protect Montana consumers, keep their prices down, but also do everything we can to continue to recruit companies here to make sure there's more competition and we're driving the prices down in the world of competition in Montana.
Shane Morgeau is the Democratic candidate for state auditor. He faces Republican Troy Downing and Libertarian Roger Roots. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.